Good morning. My name is Dominic. I have the privilege of leading our community and following Jesus and making him known in our city and beyond. If you're a guest, welcome. So glad that you're here. This morning is a kind of a little different Sunday to a degree. Our worship pastor Kelly's on vacation. And so we had Maya leading this morning, coming from Mosaic, which is one of our partner churches in Northeast Portland. And then this morning, we've been planning and scheduling for a good friend of mine, Pastor Otis, to come down and teach from Seattle. And it so happened that it's this Sunday as well. And so we've got guest worship and we've got a guest preacher this morning. Otis and I will interact a little bit afterwards. But this morning, I'm really excited. We're kind of wrapping up, if you will, our series called Remember. This summer, we've been talking about just what are the things that we believe God is calling us to remember about who he is and who we are in light of who he is and how we are to act or comport ourselves in this world as disciples of Jesus. What does it look like to partner with him? And so we've been talking about key things that we are to remember. And this morning we're going to talk about, I'll let Pastor Otis share what we're going to talk about, right, brother? So would you guys do this? Would you just welcome with me Pastor Otis to come down? And Pastor Otis is from Holly Park Church in South Seattle. And many of you know my son is named Otis. And I met Pastor Otis when my son was 6 months old. And so he wasn't necessarily named after you. But if you remember when I met you, I said, man, I'm so glad I named him Otis because of who you are, your character. Yeah. And it only elevated the name in my heart and in my mind. So this morning, Pastor Otis is going to teach. And then what we're going to do afterwards is we'll see how it goes. But one of the things that he and I talked about is as he talks about love and reconciliation, that maybe we can have a little bit of a dialogue this morning after he teaches. So I want to invite you to be listening this morning, not just, kind of out there, but be listening and engaging and thinking, what might I even want to ask to engage and learn further through this time together this morning? Does that make sense? So let me just say a quick word of prayer, and then you're going to bring the word, and I'm excited about that. Father, we just thank you this morning that we are one body in Christ, that every tongue, tribe, nation, language, people, it's your heart that all would come to know you and worship you, live in relationship with you, be redeemed by you, and reflect you in this world. And so, God, I'm so grateful you had this morning. We had Maya and Word leading worship and Pastor Otis bringing the Word this morning. Grateful that we're going to get to dialogue and interact with your living Word this morning. God, we believe it is living and inspired by you, given by you to instruct us and teach us, correct us, and guide us in following you and bringing you glory in this world. And so, God, to that end, we open your Word this morning. We open our ears and our hearts and our minds to you this morning. God, I pray you bless Pastor Otis as he speaks this morning from your word and your heart. Would you be glorified? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so excited to be here. Just honored that I would be able to have the opportunity. Thank the Pastor Dominic for inviting me. We are glad to be in the house of the Lord on this morning. And us as a body of Christ, we do find ourselves in a unique situation, a situation that is challenging, that is trying, that is quite amazing. But we know as believers that there is no season, there's no time where God has not ordained, planned, or purposed it. Matter of fact, I believe he has set you here on purpose for such a time as this. Our nation is at odds. Fear is on a rampage. Hatred is everywhere. Depression. And I believe God is calling the body of Christ not to hide underneath a rock, but come out and shine like the light that is set on the hill that we are. We know God and we love God and we want to respond to this season according to God's will. So we're talking about love this morning because the enemy would have us to hate each other and to only look at outward appearances and act like the world does. But Jesus, in his most intimate setting, the Passover, not just any Passover, but the Passover, said these words to his disciples about how we would be able to let the whole world know that we follow Jesus. That's what you woke up for. That's what you breathe for. You want to know, how can I let my neighbors know, my government know, my family know? What can set me apart that they would know that I love Jesus? How would they know? And Jesus gives us the answer cleanly, clearly, and directly in this text. This is John chapter 13, and I'm going to read you verses 34 through 35. He says this: a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. By this, I can scream to the world, Jesus is the king of my heart, because I'm not hating anyone. And the reason why I can't hate people that don't look like me, that don't worship like me, that don't sing like me, is because it would be absolutely blasphemous to hate someone when the instruction was, love them like I loved you. Well, how did God love me? Because that would answer the question of how I ought to love my brother. Well, let's be plain about it. God loved me before the foundation of the world. God loved me when I was an absolute sinner and could do nothing to please him. God loved me when I hated him. God loved me when he hung on the cross while I slapped him. God loved me when I ran from him and ran from him and wanted absolutely nothing to do with him, but he chased me anyhow and just drowned me with grace, compassion, forgiveness, long suffering, gentleness. He says, when the church wants to argue, when you want to go into your own corner and say, we'll worship over here and y'all worship over there, we don't sing similarly. He says, no, that's absolute foolishness. The more America divides, the more the church ought to embrace each other. The more racism that comes to the surface of the table, the more the church ought to stand up and say, we don't love each other with a superficial love. We love with a love that's been given to me. I give the grace that's been poured out on me. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives us a parable that just rips the heart out of all unforgiveness and malice. He said, there was a servant that I forgave much, and there was one who I forgave just a little bit. The one who owed me, in our vernacular, billions of dollars, went out to someone that owed him about 5 cents and began to choke him and say, pay back what you owe me. Pay back what you did to me. Give it back. Matter of fact, you owe me. Give me my reparations. You owe me this. And Jesus said, how could this servant who I've forgiven so much go grab his brother and begin to bring up every evil and thing he's ever done to him? How could he have nothing other than grace, mercy, compassion, and love in his heart? Because that's what I gave him. We owe each other love. Because God delivered you out of a burning hell. We owe each other love because God loved you when you was absolutely unlovable. We owe each other love because we live in a country where they want to see us love each other and quit fighting with each other and quit judging each other. But if we would just love each other like Christ loved us, they would run in here Can I have some of that? You're gracious. You're patient. You're long-suffering. Who is this God that has delivered us, that when we love each other, we walk like Christ. We talk like Christ. Matter of fact, perfect love casts out all fear. Not only does the devil want us to hate each other, he has scared us to death. And I just dropped by to tell you that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That's who we are. That's how we must walk. We must answer the call of love. We must reflect the glory of God in embracing each other. Because by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Father, we exalt you. We stand before you in awe and reverence, absolutely shuddering at the fact that you washed us from all of our sins, cleansed us, redeemed us, made us whole, not by acts of righteousness, but according to your mercy, you saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which you have shed upon us abundantly. May no one leave here hating each other. May no one leave here looking to the past, but may your church stand up in healing. May we embrace this era that we are in, this season, and say to all of America, we're going to love each other, and you're going to know that we follow the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus. Bless us on today. We rebuke everything that hates, that causes dissension, that is not the spirit of love. But you have given us power, love, and a sound mind. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Dominic. Bless you. My God.
So my first question is, what are you doing next Sunday at 9 a.m.? I've been told and taught that one of my key jobs actually is to disciple others, disciple myself out of a job, basically. and you've been discipled well. Thank you for bringing that word just of encouragement and of challenge. My question, and I hope you guys might have a question too, but what does that look like practically, or how have you seen that practically in this season, in the last year, mm-hmm. for a church to actually live out the command of loving one another in order that the world would actually then know that we follow him, the living God?
Yes, that's such a good question. The first practical thing that we see of is actually getting out of our comfort zones, which I would like to commend this church and for what you've done the morning just by having me here, because it's not comfortable, but it's called for. It must be done. So Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We have gotten so comfortable, Pastor, in the church that we've decided to only follow Jesus when it's convenient or comfortable. But when Naomi was coming back from Moab and she asked Ruth, did you want to follow? Orpah left, but Ruth said, we're not going to have this conversation no more. Entreat me not to go. I'm following you wherever you go. And that's the commitment that the church has to have for Christ now. I'm going to love who you love. I'm going to follow you everywhere we go. So practically, it's going to look like us coming together. It's going to look like us being willing to be uncomfortable so that when the world looks at us, they don't see a color, they don't see a style, they see Jesus who has saved sinners.
What do y'all think about that? You want to do that? Should we do that? That sound good? Again, that sounds powerful. And if I'm being honest, I hear that and my heart goes, yes, I want that.
Yes.
Like I wanna live up to that calling. I feel called up to that.
Amen.
And at the same time, I go, oh,
how?
How? That's gonna be hard. Yes. There's gonna be things I'm gonna have to die to. There's gonna be things that are gonna make me uncomfortable, gonna make me have to do things I don't necessarily want to do naturally or in my flesh. But yes. Called it. To say, yeah, I'm gonna follow, even when it's not comfortable, when it's not convenient, when it's not the thing I want to do. Amen. Jesus, where are you taking me?
Yes.
Thanks for that reminder. Yeah. Yes. What thoughts do y'all have? Anybody have a thought, question they wanna? This is uncomfortable.
It's okay. Anything that's on your mind. I think the silence is okay, and I think the uncomfortability is okay, because there's a way of going about doing things. There's a progression. God looks at the intentions of our heart. Most steps of faith is you just say yes and follow. I'll show you the way, because no one knows how it looks. But us reconciling, us coming together, I believe we're on the right path. I believe we're taking the right steps. I believe that this COVID, in a sense, has shut the door of where we are now realizing. I understand that you guys just started meeting in May, but you was locked out for a season, as we were in our church when we had the opportunity to come back together. Community and fellowship held more weight than I could ever imagine. I realized that Hebrews 10, forsake not the assembly. God was saving us. He was protecting us because we're better together. So if you realize that when you was away from your home church, only able to watch online, then you came back in May and sensed the spirit and the power of God that encouraged you so much. What if we did it corporately? What if we came again? What if we did? How much power, if we did that in a loving way, would the church have if there was no more arguing over foolishness? And the world looked at the church and was like, whatever they got, it's real. Even in your own context, if I seen it, we could see it on a corporate level. So God bless you. Amen. Amen. We'll let you pray.
Yeah. All right. Let me pray. Can I?
Please.
Yeah. All right. Lord, we've heard this morning clearly that your call for us is to love one another the way that you have loved us. You've loved us in a way that is sacrificial, that is long-suffering, a way that is generous, a way that is compassionate, a way that is merciful. God, we thank you for that. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Thank you for the height, the breadth, the depth of it, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to each of us this week about the way that you love us. And would you continue to speak to us this week, too, about the ways that you're calling us then to go and to love others, starting in our homes, starting in our neighborhoods, moving outward to our places of work, moving beyond that to those that we would even say are different than us, that we maybe wouldn't naturally like or love. Would you give us a supernatural empowerment and ability to embody your love, God, so that this world would come to know not just that we're your followers, but that this world would come to know that you are a God who desires relationship with us, a broken humanity, yet redeemable, savable, lovable through your son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for Pastor Otis, and I thank you for Holly Park Church up in Seattle. And I pray your continued blessing upon him and his community. God, would you use them to be salt, to be light in Seattle, to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring redemption. Bless him and his family. Bless their ministry. Bless their church. Use them, God, to be agents of reconciliation and love in Seattle and beyond. And God, yeah, would you show us, what does it look like? Give us a holy vision, God, what it looks like for churches to come together that, yeah, worship different, act different. Show us what it looks like, God, to come together, to love one another, to love this world, to point people to you. You're worthy, God. You're worthy of following. Yeah, continue to talk to us this week, God, about the ways that you want to shake us out of our comfortable places and spaces to follow you, God, with courage, with power, with faith, even if we don't have all the answers, even if there's things that are uncertain, with trust, God, believing that you are good and that you alone have the words of life. You alone have the words of healing that this world needs. God, we submit ourselves to you this morning as your kids, as disciples of you, Jesus. We love you and pray this in your name. Amen.